Welcome to Star for the Universe On-Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, Fed Come Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talkcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 167702. If you want to participate on the web, just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshow.com. Search for call ID 177702 and remember to use the Chrome browser. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. On Skype, you can reach me via the name Franz Games, FRANZGMES. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there is sfuoncall. That's SFUONCALL. Also, my personal account is Paul Franz, so you can find me there at twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. Steve Cole is busy working on the blogs and also the Gordon Master Starship book, Shapeways, and reducing all of the glut on the BBS. Also working on the Wall of Honor and different BBS proposals and questions and other projects. Steve Patrick was busy working on SFB updates, as he has been known to do, and also the Gordon and Tholian Master Starship books. Gene was busy working on the Gordon Master Starship book, you know, proofreading that so that we can get that out the door, because that's one of those things you call an easy win, because you can get it released and have it in people's hot hands. Also dealing with any spam that will end up on the BBS has actually been quite light this week, which is always good to see. Also, she updated the index of captain's logs, you know, given the last, you know, that's probably part of the flap list for Cabin's Log number 53. Moving onward to the SFB Online Tournament, because we have one at the moment. And that tournament is the Sapphire Star 1 Tournament. Currently, round 1 is complete. The last game took only 2 turns with a defeat saying, quote, need to play more and have some sort of a tactic. So basically, he went, I'm flying my ship. I blow up. But you know, round 2 is all set. The first game is that's scheduled and actually announced that it was scheduled is set for Monday. And that was one Peter Bakita and his opponent. When it comes to the library, there was no progress, even though Frank actually got around to doing some of conversions. He actually did some conversions right after he came back from his vacation, and he got the file naming wrong. He went back to his old way of doing a file naming, which I had to correct, you know, multiple times. And he totally forgot. He went on vacation, totally forgot that we talked about. And I'm pretty sure he said that he fixed it, and also he did some more conversions when it comes to the ISC. So that'd be good. The numbers will go up as soon as I get a chance to process them. I've had a very busy week this week. We'll see more progress. Currently, the percent complete is at 74.5%. Hopefully, we can get that up to into the 80s or 90s. Go through all of them and just see where they lie when it comes to what needs to be done. And with that is news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, you got me, you got Barry, you got Dave, you got Russ, and why aren't you here? You know, if you can download and use a Chrome browser, you should easily join us in TalkShoe. If you can't, you should be able to join us on the YouTube live feed, which is posted many places, from Facebook to Twitter to Discord. If you actually on the Discord server, I know that's kind of out there. The discussion board is there. I'm not sure where else I can post it. you know. But if you just want to go to the YouTube channel, I got links. I think I'm pretty sure I got it on my website at sfuoncall.com. You can go there and you can go to the live stream, and I'm watching on the live stream for anyone who wants to chat there. If you want to join me there, that's great. If you just want to listen in, that's great too. You know, just obviously I'd rather have Zoom chat so we can actually talk about these things, because the whole idea of this podcast is more of you almost want to call it group therapy for us poor SSB FedCom players. No, but you know, the original reason I created this 10 years ago was it was supposed to be a community. I thought that's what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be, I figured 9:30 is a decent time. It's not too late for East Coasters, not too early for the West Coasters. You know, far, you know, people outside of the U.S., I'm sorry, it's hard. You know, we've got an issue called time zones. And being a live podcast, you know, it's hard to be involved in that if you just happen to be the wrong time zone. And I apologize for that. I'm not sure what else I can do about that. Sorry. Unless you are one of those crazy third shifters where you're up in the middle of the night, you know, or, you know, decide, or you're all the way on the other side of the planet, like in Australia. And if you are, good day, mate. And so I will move forward, onward and forward, because tonight we're going, one of the topics for tonight is the Vari. And let me see if Barry is back. Barry, are you there? Okay, I don't hear Barry at the moment. I'm going to leave him unmuted at the moment. Hopefully he will join us. What I can actually do at the very least, given that Barry seems to be connected but not here, I'm not exactly sure whether it's a problem with his phone or a problem with Barry himself. Did I screw up the date? That is a good possibility. Russ, I think Russ just pointed out that I might have posted it under the wrong date. I did, and I apologize for that. After I'm done for this evening, I will actually correct that live stream link. The title for it to actually say that it's July, not June. I apologize for anyone who didn't join us because of I got the date wrong. You know, I'm not sure. Like, you know, I don't know. Brain fart. I apologize. But okay, I'm just going to really quickly, for those who are on the YouTube live feed, you can actually see the Vari tournament cruiser, the unsanctioned. All the tournament cruisers for Omega are unsanctioned. Doesn't mean we don't want to work towards their sanctioning. At the very least, what Barry, like, Barry's not here, or at least not voicing his opinion at the moment, so you can hear mine again, which is I always feel like the Omegas, in theory, they should be, at least we should try to balance them so to a degree, because of even in the Alpha Octant, those ships aren't balanced towards each other 100%. You know, I'm not sure if it's still up on the internet, there was a chart which was created many, many moons ago. I mean, many, many moons ago. It was called the RPS chart, rock, paper, scissor chart. And what it did is it gave you an idea of given like skilled captains flying these ships, what is the percentage chance of the opponents winning on each ship? Obviously, you know, if it's Fed versus Fed, you know, that's 50%. It's 50-50. In theory, it should be 50-50. And well, that comes down to captain skill, you know. But things like, Orion versus the Andromedan, that's 90% Orion, 10% Andromedan. You know, it's the Andromedans don't have much of a chance. So it's not really good in that category. And then, you know, then you got the different ones. And basically, these aren't, they're not actually statistics based. They're more like what the feeling is from the community, from the experienced captains. And basically, this is a chart that's been developed and updated based on what the community feels like is truly the case. And I'm more than willing to bet that that community is correct, because there's no one out there that's going, "Oh, you're wrong, da 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 da." Because anyone who's really pointed that out, they've usually they had a false understanding of tactics involved and what are the detractions, what are the problems that this one ship will face against this ship. You know, obviously one of the hard ones is the Hydran. You know, because the Hydran, that one can, you would think it would do really well. The problem is Mizzia. Mizzia kills it. If you're able to do a Mizzia attack against a Hydran, you can kill off its weapons. It's really quickly, and it's dead. You know, and the one's biggest issue is it's got this large center hull. You know, so, but anyhow, getting back to the Omega. You know, but I think the trying to balance it with other Omegas, relatively. You know, I don't think if it's a 50-50 on that RPS chart, you've done something wrong, really. And obviously that's gonna be one of the challenges with bringing in Omega tournament ships, which is, how do you know when it's an issue? It's an RPS issue. Meaning, these two ships, for the most part, were never designed to fight each other in their little section. So, you know, historically, would these ships ever actually get matched up? Now, one thing which I'm sure you've heard me say over the past few weeks about the Omegas is that more and more I read about the weapons, I read about the ships, everything just starts screaming to me that a lot of these ships, a lot of these weapons, a lot of the systems were not designed for duels. They're mainly designed for fleet action. You know, like the whole idea of last week's with the Prober, where you actually can change the target for your weapon. Well, short of using that little trick, and I do, from my mind, it is a trick, which is using ballistic targeting and then changing it from a ballistic, you know, targeted on a hex to targeted on a ship. To me, that's a trick. It works well against duels, but you wouldn't actually do that against a fleet. You know, there are some things you could possibly want to do that for a fleet, because I can see that happening. If you want to target, you want to use the I forget what the kind of torpedo it was for the Prober, but you want it basically to corral your enemy fleet. I can see that for that trick to work. But otherwise, you know, that four impulse delay is pretty huge. You know, getting it so that you don't, that four impulse delay when you change targets does not take effect. You know, takes distance. So, and most time, and when it comes to duels, you don't have that distance. You know, because to get it, like if you're close range and you want to get to a person's opposite shield, you have to go past that person's ship and then come back. And at the same time, when it comes back, it can't hit it within the first four impulses. You know, so if the person realizes this, you know, like when it goes past the ship, what does he do? He dives towards the torpedo. If he runs toward, you know, obviously that's a good thing for you because then he's going to face an opposite shield to him. But at the same time, it's one way of completely removing the possibility of that torpedo actually causing any damage. Obviously, like any other seeking weapons are mainly meant, in my mind, are their mobile terrain. They're there to change your enemy's direction, change the course of where your enemy is going. Yeah, Dave was mentioning about the hydrant that, oh, Mizzium makes your enemies mad. Yeah.
You know. Hey,
how you doing, Barry? You okay?
Well, yeah, I just pulled up to my house. So I need to go so I can unload my car.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
My wife's more interesting than this talking to.
Okay, no problem. Well, I'll talk to you later then.
Yeah, okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. So it's gonna be a me hour. Yay! Well, actually, if you don't like to hear my voice, you're not listening to my podcast. obviously, not going to be quite as interesting without Barry when it comes to talking about Davari, but I think I can talk about it. Barry sent me information about this, sent me the tournament chip, and also noted up that there weren't any tournament tactics. And I know he talked to me before, wanted to talk to me before, but both of us have been quite busy this past week to actually sit down and discuss things outside of this hour. And so I'm not about, I know one thing, he had some thoughts about the probe, the particle probe. And he actually added two particle probes to this ship. And if you're looking at it on the YouTube live stream, you'll see the ship that I did. And actually, let me just want the quick thing. There is one thing I should be able to do. Give me a sec here. Folks, I'm doing something for the talk show people so they can see what I'm talking about, and I'm hoping I have it. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, there it is. Okay. And present. Okay. So they can see it. It's actually in this day and age, this might not be such a bad thing to do. Given some of the issues I've had with TalkShoe and just awful, awful people showing up. Spammers. And I've reported some of them. Every single time I run into them, I report them. So they close their accounts. But anyhow, if you'll notice on it. Here it is. You've got your particle probes right here. You've got your phasers. That's all I can note them as. You got some of the smaller ones here, and you got the larger ones up here, the phaser ones, and then the particle beams. Now, I was actually reading about the particle beams. And the particle, it's weird. The particle beam chart, really, it screams inefficient. It's awful. They're awful things because of, okay, there's one good thing about the particle beam. The particle beam is something like the particle cannon. The one thing I did not note, let me just check the rules again, because there's one thing I was not actually, I did not see. About the particle beams, because I was checking to see one thing, which is firing rate. There it is. Okay, it's better than the particle cannon in that it can fire within the 8 impulses. So, versus the particle cannon, which takes 12. But, see, the awful thing about it is the chart. The chart basically says that other than, you know, the two hits, they aren't the greatest. They're like particle cannons. Like 7 to 8 range, 1 to 3 to hit. 5, 3 to 6, it's 1 to 4 to hit. Range 2, though, you get out to 1 to 5, and you finally, at range 0, you actually has an automatic hit, but you have to be overloaded. But to overload, it takes 2 points of energy. 2 points of energy, when it comes to overloads, gives you a range 5 to 8, 4 points of damage. A range 1 to 0 to 4 gives you only 6 points of damage for 2 points of power. And to say the very least, that's not exactly a great rate of return. The only thing, obviously, that is a benefit about the particle beam is that you can fire it multiple times per turn, and it's only a quarter impulse delay between those two, but again, there is that delay. So, the particle beam cannot be held. So, we have 5 here, and then, this is true. Let me just double check this. I'm pretty sure this case. Yes, it is true. Okay. Which is this particle beam, rear extended particle beam. The Varis have rear extended weapons when it comes to, and these are basically, they're supposed to be kind of torpedo weapons. You know, I think that's what they're hit on. Let's do a double check here. Yes, they are. They are hit on, they're destroyed on torpedoes. Now, given that they are definitely inefficient when it comes to damage. 2 points of power gives you a maximum of 6 points of damage. And these cannot be held. So that they're one turn arming. They're basically, they're light disruptors in that category. Now you can put up the 4 points of energy, which gives you 2 overload shots. But of course, it's 2 overload shots, given a quarter impulse delay between the two. So, yes, that will give you 12 points of damage, maximum 12 points of damage, which is actually not bad. You can do 12 points of damage with a single weapon in one turn. But the problem, of course, ends up being, shocker, that given that, it takes you two shots. And giving it 2 shots, you're not going to get that. It's rare you're going to get that on the same shield because of your opponent's not going to just sit there and wait for you to be able to recycle and fire again. No, he's going to be running. So given that, they're not that great a weapon. Now, Barry put 6? Yeah, 6. 6. Now, this is one thing he did, because I'm pretty sure that this was based off of the Vari Heavy Cruiser. Vari Heavy Cruiser has a little less power than this ship, which I'm glad he put more power, because you need more power for because he added more weapons. The question is, do you add enough power to offset that? Because normally, a normal Vari Combine Heavy Cruiser has, let's see, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 times 4 is 16, 18, 18 plus 8 is 26 points of power when it comes to warp. And then 4 is 30, and another 4 is 34. So you got the Vari. Now, again, the heavy cruiser is worth 112 points. So that sounds about right for 112 points. And also, the number of weapons is much, much smaller. It's only 4 particle beams versus the 6 that are on the Terminal Cruiser, which makes sense because I think we're trying for around a BPV of like 130, 140. So that makes complete sense to upgrade things a bit. Now, overall, in my mind, it's not the particle beams you have to worry about on this ship. If you're fighting this ship, the one thing you have to worry about is the phasers. Overall, as you're getting close, they kill you. They can completely kill you. Now, they're worse. give me a sec, guys. Give me a sec. I've got to show you this, at least for those on YouTube. I don't have time to extract the picture for the actual SSD, but I can. Okay, this and go over here. Let me switch over to this, and then give me a second. I'm going to switch to this guy. Okay. Now, if you go, if you look at this phaser chart here, one thing you will notice is that it hits when it hits. It hits for a really good amount of damage, like range 6 to 8. You got, if you roll a die roll of 1, that's 5 points of damage. 2, 3, 3, 3, 4, 1. And then it dies. 0, 0 for 5 and 6. And then for 5, again, 5, it's 5, 5, 3, 1, zip. Range 4, it's 7, 5, 3, 1, zip. When you finally get into range 3, 9, 7, 5, 3, 1, zip. So when you hit, you do more damage on average than a regular, an alpha octant phaser 1. But the problem with this phaser is when if you roll poorly, you get nothing. You get absolutely nothing. So it's the curve on it's really it's whack, because if you get to range zero, if you're flying the VAR and you get to range zero, look at this. Range zero, 13 points of damage on one phaser. 11, 9, 7, 5, and then 3. What's wrong with this picture, folks? What's wrong with this picture is that the phasers are heavily, heavily weighted towards good rolls. If you have good rolls, the rolls 1s, 2s, and 3s, man, you're going to kick butt. But if you roll 4s, 5s, and 6s, this is not like your mama's phaser 1. You will do next to nothing, comparatively speaking. And same for, if you look at the phaser 3 here. Does it do better in some cases? Yeah. Heck yeah. Look at this. From range 6 to range 15, it's 3 points of damage, then 1, then zip. Compare that to a alpha octant phaser 3. Phaser 3 from 9 to 15 is 1. It's 1, then it's all 0. So the maximum damage is 1 point of damage. And then you have to be really lucky. And then I think it's from, let's see if I can remember this right. I think 4 to 8 It's 1-1. So you have a chance. Not a really good chance, but you have a chance. And then 3 is a little better, and then 2, you know, 2 is actually decent, where I think it's 4-4-4-3-2-1 at range 2. In the case of these, you got 5-3-3-1-1-0. So the max is up, but the downside is really down. You know, it's a crazy weapon when it comes to the way the curve is for damage. But I wanted to show you the chart really quick to help understand how crazy it is. And here's the particle beam chart, which I was talking about earlier. Now, obviously, standards, not bad. You know, you get 50% chance of doing 2 points of damage for 2 points of power. For 1 point of power. Because standard is 1 point of power, you can do 2 points of damage. Not great, not bad. And same for these to me work more like phasers, alpha octant phasers at the longer ranges. But you know, obviously they're a little better because of, let's say 16-24, it's 50% chance of doing 1 point of damage. And I don't remember of alpha octane when it comes to the 16-24, but I think 9-15, again, it's 2 points of damage, which is, I think it's around average for, it might be a little bit greater than average for. Because actually, if you calculate out the average damage for 9-15 for a particle beam, is basically it's 1. That's what it would be. So, which is actually not bad. For 1 point, you basically it's 1-for-1. Which is, if you're at longer ranges, and you have your opponent showing his down shield to you, you got a good chance of punching through. You know, of doing that. You know. On average, you should do 1 point of damage, means you should, on average, you should do 1 internal. So if he shows that down shield to you, you got him. Now, let me do this. Let me switch back, actually. Da-da-da. I'm going to switch back to the tournament cruiser. Give me a sec, and you will be seeing. That's it. That. Now, see, the great thing about the Vare here is, you know, Barry upgraded the amount of power, which is important, given you got now 6 particle beams, which require 1 to 2 points of 2 points of energy to fire. Now, we got these little suckers, which I don't. Okay, let me look at this for a moment, because I apologize. I did not get a chance to I was looking at the wrong rule book there for a moment. Sorry, I apologize. The particle probes, which take, there's 2 turn on weapons. Basically, the regular probes that they enhanced. The firing rate is, of course, particle probes can only be fired once in a period of 2 turns. Big surprise. No unit can fire more than 1 particle probe in any given turn. So even though it has 2 particle probes, you only can fire 1 per turn, which is fine, because you can alternate. Let me just look at. I am looking for, what's the effect? Pa-pa-pa. You limit the amount of, okay, holding, reserve, okay, ammunition, procedure. Okay, they're launched. Pa-pa-pa. And, I'm sorry. No. Okay. I'm a, well, could be the close friend to guarantee a shot on Don Shield. Okay, so this is basically really a poor man's weapon, seems like. I don't see a weapons chart. And I don't see him when it comes to hits, gets killed on probes, which is interesting. Now you have two probe hits. Of course, if you get only, when it comes to the damage allocation chart, if you get down the probe, you're in trouble. Okay, I apologize. I didn't look at this earlier because I don't see what it does. Whacked. Okay, but anyhow, so the ship can obviously it can move quite quickly, as long as you're not charging every single particle beam. So, given the particle beams arcs, this means that this ship is actually quite flexible when it comes to combat, because the weapons can. Look, other than the particle probes, they can be, all his weapons can be fired every single turn. That means it's a very flexible ship. It's more like, fed, but that's not really a good way of describing it. It's more like an Orion, a phaser, boat. Where you have all direct fire weapons here. And they're all one turn arming weapons. I think I've ever seen anyone do that when it comes to the Orion, whether I've ever seen the Orion with disruptors in the front and then phasers in the side, which you can easily do. It's basically a very poor man's. Klingon, with three disruptors, no drones. But, but the whole idea there is that overall, this ship is very, very good for dogfighting. Knife fighting. Because of it's the one-turn army weapons that you have here, the phasers and the particle beams. That means you want to stay close to your targets, because most of your opponents are going to have multi-turn army weapons, and since other than your phasers, your other weapons, your particle beams, none of them can be held. So it's not like really that you're going to be able to run away, charge your weapon, recharge your weapons, come back. There's no point. Other than, of course, the phasers. Now, obviously, that's going to limit you somewhat the number of phases you can fire if you are if you're knife fighting and you're doing a very close knife fight. Well, that is kind of incongruous. Because if you're in knife fight, you're close range. That's by definition. That's a knife fight, versus more of a saber dance, where you're more in the within long, within overload of range. But you're not coming in close. Range five or closer, But in this ship, that's what you want. You want it to be that close. So, given that, You're going to want to basically pound your opponent with this ship. You're going to, in my mind, actually, I'm going to do one quick thing for you folks. Yep, okay. Which was, I was wondering if the particle probes are actually part of the original heavy cruiser. And it is. So that's part of the original. So these are more of, from the description of it, it's more of a very poor weapon. Okay, let me just look at the procedure just real quick. It says the particle probes are launched during the direct fire, and the probe is launched in hex, to a hex, i.e., to a hex within 6 hexes of the firing ship whereupon particle beam fires on the target that hex. The launch of the particle probe is considered weapons for all purposes. The resulting effect is immediately determined immediately by Dyrrol. Consult with the particle beam combat table, which oh, particle beam. And Rol, okay, am I looking at the right one? I am, no, I'm, yeah, okay. Rol, see that and indicates listed, okay. So it's using the same table. Okay, so basically, it's basically it's a multi-turn arming particle beam. That's what it seems to be indicating here. I'm sorry, that's what I missed. But it has limited firing arcs, is what it looks like it has, because of it has the probe's firing arcs. Based, it says, the launch to the hex using G522, which is, I think, that's the probe system. So this one is ones that you, as mentioned, it's a kind of a coup de grace to a certain degree. I just, it means, okay, yes, you have an extra particle beam every other turn. Or actually, since you have two of them, you have an extra particle beam. So instead of having six particle beams, you basically have seven, is what you've got. Like that, you can fire every single turn. And actually, let me just do one quick check here, which is whether the particle probe actually, yeah, they cannot be held. The weapon's not launched during the turn. The particle beam is armed. It must be discharged. The probe holding the beam is lost. A particle probe that begins arming on turn one and discontinued subsequent turn can have its arming discontinued on the subsequent turn. The second particle probe could begin arming on a subsequent turn, but obviously could not complete its arming until next one. Canceling the arming the particle probe during energy allocation then would be its second turn of arming, right? Does not need announced to be announced. So it can't even be held again. So to me, that doesn't make that much. I'm not sure why I would ever want to use the weapon, except for the only, especially on this ship. Here's the thing. Because of what Barry did by adding the additional particle beams, there is no reason on this ship to actually use the particle probe, which leads me to believe that Barry got it wrong in that he added particle beams, which he shouldn't have done when it comes to at least for the front. He probably, let me see, the original one had what? Had three in the front firing arc. This one has five. I think he went a little bit overboard. I think probably would have been better. Because the biggest issue with the probes is a limited firing arc, and I'm not sure if it needs five. Now, obviously, this is when I need Barry here to talk to me what was found in the playtest of playtesting the Vari. Because I think overall the Vari looks like an interesting ship, and mine, given that I hadn't heard Barry malign the Vari much. I would tend to believe that the Vari were actually played pretty well. I think the one I really want to discuss, which hopefully we'll discuss next week, which is the Mazron. I will be getting together with Barry to see if he can come back next week and actually be here. Obviously, his wife comes first, and that's fine. You know, I'm not going to put him down for that bad timing, but, you know, I wish I would have known it beforehand, that's all. So, I think the Vari is a very interesting ship, though. The weapons, again, crazy weapons. You know, I would actually like to fly the ship just to find out how well it performed. Because of, in my mind, this is a very luck-dependent ship. Because of, one, the craziness of the phasers and how they're heavily loaded to be, if you roll well, you do well. If you roll poorly, you are going to suck. Yeah, isn't that, I understand that's the case for most SFB ships, most weapons, that if you roll well, you will do well. But this one, I think it's a little bit over the top in that category. And obviously, what you're going to be probably doing is putting most of your energy into phasers anyway. And you're not going to put most of your energy into particle beams. And especially in my case, where I think the best course of action with a ship is using it as a knife fighter. Because a knife fighter, you know, you've got all these wonderful phasers now. Let me just look at the phaser arcs. The phaser arcs aren't awful. You know, yes, you got left side here, you got right side here, you've got right here, you've got three forward arc, and then you got forward arc left, forward arc right. And then you got the P3s, which obviously looks like they're basically, in my mind, they're like the Romulans in arcs, where the Romulans, they are meant to protect them against seeking weapons, following them, which is the only reason you would ever, ever, ever in this ship, in my mind, not do a knife, be running away from, when it comes to a knife fight, is to run out those seeking weapons. Now, obviously, the big issue for this, for a knife fight, is going to be those arcs. Because of, it's mostly designed to hit out the shield number two, shield number one, and shield number six. Which makes it hard. You want, for a knife fighter, in my mind, you want this side and this side. You don't worry about the rear as much, but right side and left side. In this case, when you're back here, you've got two. You got two phasers, and you've got two particle beams in that case. And that's not going to do much damage. So that'll be a downside that's definitely a point against trying to use it as a knife fighter. But at the same time, it's single turn arm weapons. Also, if you notice, the turn mode is turn mode B. Again, it screams knife fighter. The only problem, obviously, is going to be the weapon arcs, because you have to get the front of the ship around every single turn, and of course the particle beams. Because the particle beams can be fired multiple times a turn, that again, that kind of screams knife fighter. You know, so you can pound on your opponent multiple times a turn when it comes to the particle beams, and you can do it for relatively cheap. You know, it's one if you want to go for just two points of power, you can fire two standard shots, or you can fire one overload shot. You know, that gives you the maximum flexibility there. Because if you put 4 points, you must fire two overloads. You can't fire any standards. But of course, if you're knife fighting, you don't. You're gonna be. You want fire overloads anyway because you're gonna be close in. Because whether it's overload or standard, the to hit does not change. It's not like you overload it and your to hit gets better, or you fire standard and your to hit gets better. You know, doesn't matter. Which is a big surprise. No, that's basically that's what disruptors do. Same thing, except for they have the UIM, which I hate when it comes to the Klingons, because of to me the. I always hated the Klingons UIM in the tournament because of that means out the range 8, it's got a 1 to 5 to hit, and it's guaranteed. There is no breakdown for the UIM, which I understand why they don't have it as a breakdown. I understand that, you know. But it makes the Klingons such a beast when it comes to firing its disruptors because it can fire at long range, and it's almost guaranteed. It's not quite, but it's almost guaranteed to kill unless you roll really poorly, which can happen. You know, if you roll a lot of sixes, you could just completely miss. But you know, how often do you actually roll that poorly? You know, that's one of those cases where you know if you roll poorly, you're gonna do poorly. So that's the Vari, you know, it's an interesting ship. I like that this direct fire because of there is the benefit in my mind of using direct fire only ship is that it makes the board a lot easier it makes the ship a lot easier to play. You don't have to worry about tracking, just seeking weapons and things like that. That's one of the things actually I wanted to add to the client, which was the automatic movement of seeking weapons, just because of it would definitely improve things. At the very least, have it so that it was available for fleet action, because it would really help fleet actions. I feel that's one thing. Maybe I should try to get back into looking into. Currently, I'm still working. I gotta get back to it. I have not had a chance to work on this past week because of different crazy things that I needed to get done. That is, I'm working on for the clients, just the work mentioned about some of the work I'm doing on the client, which is to fix the problem with the tractors. Now, as I think I mentioned last week, the big issue with tractors is that I cannot fix it for all, in my mind at least, I don't think it's worth it at the moment to really go deep when it comes to multi-ship tractoring. I want to fix the main case for multi-ship tracking, which is you've got basically one big ship, and then you have some smaller ships, and that's fine. It can handle that. It's when you have multiple ships of the same size class, same movement cost, same size class. I gotta re-look at the tractor beam rules. But overall, you know, as long as there's a difference between the ships and you say, okay, these are the top two and this third one, well, don't worry about it. Because according to the tractor rules, the top two ships, those are the only ones that actually get to move. If there's a third ship actually tractor, that third ship doesn't do squat. It's pseudo speed of zero, which is interesting. But in that case, you know, this was brought up to me. I forget who Devilish, I forget the exact call sign, but he brought it up to me. You know, actually it was brought up to me beforehand. I just hadn't had a chance to really work on it, and he brought it up again. So, you know, I started working on it. And I would really like to get that done so that, you know, fleet action can be a lot more possible. Because at the moment, tournaments have been on a decline when it comes to SCB Online. But fleet action has been a lot more prevalent, which in my mind is a good thing. Because you get these larger battles. Larger battles are more fun. Now, the problem with larger battles, obviously, is time. It's going to take multiple sessions and some of these sessions to, like any other fleet battles, when it comes, because these are for campaigns. And being for campaigns, they get to a certain point in the battle. Instead of, you know, just watching them completely, like, one side wipe out the other side, they, at that, at some point, they go, okay, you know, this is going badly. I'm going to retreat. And the other person invariably says, okay, I'm going to allow you to retreat. Or they can work out, they can negotiate a deal. Oh, this ship, this ship, this ship, that they're going to die, but I think these will escape. You know, and the person either agrees or doesn't agree with it, and either they play on or they, to save time, they stop. You know, so fleet action can be quite interesting, but at the same time, unless you're actually involved, because it can be quite boring, because just when the fighting gets good, they stop, you know. And that's fine. You know, that is what it is. But, you know, currently, actually, when it comes to the SWL and Clem, my biggest concern at the moment is notarization for Apple. Because of, given that Catalina, which is the next version of the Mac OS, might require all applications that are downloaded to be notarized. And to do that, I have to double check whether it's going to be requirement in Catalina or just strongly suggested. And at some point they're going to enable it, so it's going to be a requirement. I think it's comes a requirement in Catalina. In which case, my client is no longer going to be available to run. You no longer will be able to run it on the Mac OS. This is not a good thing. Because then I have to work around it. Because in theory, I can work around it, but it makes the application a lot more. It's going to be a much more of an awful experience for the people involved. Because the only way to do it then would be actually, okay, here is a zip file. Take that zip file, run it from the you know, double click on this script. That script will start the client to run. That's going to be the only way of doing it. Of course, some of the stuff, like, if that's going to be a requirement, notarization, well, there's a problem with notarization, which is for the JVM, which is what, you know, it's a Java-based client. That JVM would then also have to be notarized at some point. And the last thing, when I last tried to notarize my application, this was many, many months ago when I first got notified about the notarization, and, you know, worked on it. Well, okay, do this. Okay, fine. I can work through a few hoops. I've already got it so that I can sign the application. Got that working. So having so it's notarized, it's a little more work, but I think I can get it working. Submitted it, and it failed. And why did it fail? It failed because of the JVM is not compiled for a late enough version of Mac OS. It's too early. It runs on too many versions of Mac OS. This is the bad thing. So, it makes me wonder, I know some people say, oh, to get notarized, did this. Okay, how did you get that notarized when this one thing, which is it's saying that it's not compiled for a late enough version of Mac OS, it's not working. It doesn't really get past this point. You know, so I might have to do something which I really loathe to do, which is, I forget what the website is called now, which the developers use. And basically create an account there and actually post a question there. On that, to see if anyone has come up with a solution, because heck if I know. My guess is that I might have to wait for an updated version of the VM, and possibly that won't be fixed until Catalina gets released. You know, when the notarization becomes a requirement, in which case I'm going to be down for a while. Either that, or I have to switch to be web-based, you know, which I've talked about before, and I would like to switch to be web-based. I've got some interesting ideas going along for that. I've actually talked to another developer about this term, this functionality called WebSockets, and that looks like what I would like to use, because it allows streaming basically for everything, so that it can basically, it allows real-time communication between the server and the client, or a server and the browser. So looks, you know, looks interesting. I think that could actually work, but there's a lot of work involved, especially with all the functionality that's currently in the client. A lot of the functionality would have to be dropped off the face of the earth, you know. Actually, it reminds me, there was a Facebook post going, oh, I don't like the client, because it's not. I don't think it said it was intuitive. I think it looked aged, looked old. Well, probably it does look old. It is quite old. I agree. But okay, people, remember one thing: saying is old doesn't mean squat. Tell me what is that you doesn't, you know, that you, that's why it feels old. What is it that makes it unusable to you? You know, as I mentioned before, first impressions are gold to me. If I can get feedback from those people, please tell me. You know, I that's the funny thing is, as part of the client, I have a feedback button. Click on it. Send me information. Say, you know, I think this is junk. That, you know, doesn't do this. You know, scream at me. Fine, please. You know, I'm not happy to take all your vitriol. You know, because I think that will help me to actually have a better client, a better experience for everyone, including you. Because I want you as a customer. I want you to be able to enjoy the client. I want you to be able to enjoy playing SAP across the internet and enjoy the game that you love or have loved in the past, you know, and that you can definitely enjoy in the future. And I want to be a part of that experience for you. So with that, I think I'm going to wrap it up for this evening. I had a rambling chat about the Vari and what the Vari can and cannot do. Obviously, the biggest issue for the Vari, period, is that it doesn't have any seeking weapons. Because of having that tertiary weapon, that seeking weapon, really helps to distract your opponent. So, your opponent currently, he can, if he has seeking weapons, he can fire seeking weapons at you. What are you going to be doing? You've got two choices. You can either fire at it or you can run from it. That is your choice. If you fire at it and destroy it, okay, it takes up your valuable okay. Russ was just mentioning when it comes, let's finish the comment on Vari. So that's, you know, that means either use energy or weapons. And if you use up weapons, you can't fire on your opponent. So that's always the issue. And when it comes to, you know, some minor things with the client, as Russ mentioned, a GUI that are full of info and geared toward optimization of access, lots of options, appear old. I.e., what I think Russ is saying is simplify, remove options. You know, and I think that is sometimes a wrong approach. I thought about that a while ago, which is the whole idea of having a simplified and basically a basic and advanced version, where you could control it by, okay, the options. You just have, so the menu options are limited in the basic version, where you, most of those options you don't need. And I agree, most of the options don't need. Do you need to be able to cover a a counter? No, you don't. Do you need this or that? You know, a lot of them you don't need to do. But, you know, in some cases, okay, you want to change your speed plot. Okay, you right-click and you can change the speed plot that way. You know, maybe I should go with the Apple approach. Limit your options. Well, and it looks like someone just came on board. George, sorry, George, but I'm ending up the podcast now, so I apologize. But I hope you have a good evening. With that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.